So the second thing I wanted to ask was, it seemed like you were needing to be much more open-minded. In other words, having been a pastor, a lot of times churches really emphasize warning people about being open-minded. In other words, there's always certain things you believe, da, da, da. But for you to kind of get out of that bubble, it seemed to me as though you had to be more open-minded. Talk to us about that.
I had my religious days. I really did. I remember I started because I was ingesting so much of bad theology and then whatever. I mean, there was a version of myself that was got quite religious. And, you know, and my mom, who was actually very, very liberal, would ask me, you know, questions, and I'd give her the religious answers, but something inside was like, this is not right, right? And right. I think God in his graciousness, and I really attribute this to the graciousness of God, because that was ugly. And I, you know, the judgmental and, you know, you got to say the prayer and, you know, you might miss the rapture and all the things, okay? And it wasn't like a huge period, but I just felt myself coming to that. And I think God in his graciousness led me from one stream to the next until I was able to apprehend something that was more expansive and more open-minded. So I don't want to like pat myself on the back that, wow, I was so open-minded. All you religious people, right?
Right.
I was them. I was a Pharisee. But fortunately, I don't think it was like a huge portion of my walk, but it definitely was there. And it came out in ugly, nasty, judgmental ways where, you know, you do violence to people in the name of truth, right? And so, right? And because I thought, well, you know, and you think like, wow, if your salvation is based on that, like, you know, you justify it, right? Well, this is really loving people. Well, that's crap, right?
Right.
And so, right? And so I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, like presenting. So I did have that phase, but God, it wasn't like I had this huge deconstruction. God led me from places of more freedom, more open-minded to these camps. And then I did what happily God graced me to do, and that's do deep dives and start to question things. And it didn't fall apart immediately. You know, I was still like eternal conscious torment. This is a thing, right? You know,
right.
And it took a while, but God was gracious, and I was willing. I was willing to follow the God within me because of something. This is so crucial, because I had this foundation of knowing God as the person of love, that he was able to lead me. Sometimes in our growth process, in our correction process, you know, if we're relatively easily following God and Holy Spirit out of a relational capacity, he's able to strip off the mindsets and things a lot easier. And some are harder than others. If we are holding on and sort of bucking the system, bucking his leading, because guess who's leading us and guiding us into all truth, right? And so for bucking it, it comes off harder. And, you know, and the thing is this, I don't think the abuses of the religious system, maybe it was as bad for me as some other people. I mean, I have stories. I have ugly stories. Okay. But I think I was just blessed in that in some ways, that I didn't have to drop kick everything because it was so toxic. It was more a journey. It was an ongoing journey. And I went through phases of Phariseeism and phases of, you know, of just being ugly, being religious.
Right. Yeah.
But it wasn't this huge, but now with that, so much of the bulk of my practice is for people that have been brutalized by religion. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very familiar with that dynamic. I've done workshops on it and things like that, but we're talking about my journey. And everybody's journey is unique. And I'm just, you know, I'm not done, right? So we're all on this glorious journey. But the thing is, because we're so loved in the midst of it, like, it is going to be okay. I am assuming there's things I'm teaching now that I'm going to have to repent of because I just don't have it all figured out. But I think that's okay. Like, we gotta teach as we go, right? And we teach in the light that we have, but it's okay. I mean, God is so gracious, and I entrust the people that I'm ministering to God, to the Holy Spirit inside them, to lead them and guide them in all truth. So if there's something that's like, yeah, that's got to go, you know, he's taking care of that piece as well. So ultimately, this is an issue of God, can I trust you? And if I can't say the word God, if I can't say the G word or the J word, right? You know, love or source or universe or whatever makes sense to you at the time, can I trust you? And man, he is just in there. I mean, he adores all of his kids and is there to lead and guide every single human being into all truth and will meet us exactly where we're at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope that's helpful.
You know, and I think one of the things for many people who come to, at least in my program, maybe to yours too, is they grew up in the church. It sounds like with your family, they were not religious. Is that correct?
They were religious, all right. It just didn't look like Christianity.
Oh, they were. Okay, okay.
So when I say it was more secular humanism. It was heavy duty. Heavy duty, performance based. Yeah. So there's lots of different religion comes in a lot of flavors.
No, that's true.
Every single one is really ugly. I think the worst though, I wasn't brought up in Christian religiosity. And I do think Christian religiosity is the worst because it's toxic religion in Jesus' name. Right. So you get the very answer you need to be freed from religion is torqued in such a way that it makes it even harder to recover because it mars the face of the one that is actually the way out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, for some people who came out of that, maybe toxic fundamentalism, something that was very legalistic.
Yeah.
Their experience is a lot of fear.
God, yes.
Fear of rejection, fear mm-hmm. of, and then when they go into deconstruction, they have to really, you know, be first true to themselves, be willing to acknowledge that fear, to be more open-minded in the sense of how they do their deconstruction with the things that they believe. did your family, how did they respond to this? Was this ever an issue or was it?
Well, it was not an issue with my family. My family had a problem that I became a Christian. So they had a real problem with that. So they just thought I lost my mind. And then I went, so this was not a problem. But interestingly, when I did deconstruct, it actually opened the door to embrace my family who were very liberal. And I don't mean to bring politics in it, but there's sometimes some overlap. You know, one of my family members was gay, all of that. And so it opened the door to actually to be able to, well, maybe I can relook at this.
Right.
Right. Maybe I can relook at this. There was actually healing in my family because I didn't have my panties in a wad about having to have, like, you got to say the prayer and you got to repent. Right. And, you know, I mean, like, there was a time when I literally was leaving, you know, CDs around for my family. Well, what to do, you know, if you find this after I've been raptured, this is what you ought to do. So I was like, oh my God, help me, Jesus. So anyway.
And we had recently Rapture Tuesday.
I mean,
so you and I are still here.
We're still here. I don't know. Maybe we got bad things in store, but anyway. Yeah. All right. So anyway, yeah.
Okay.
So, but it actually helped them in my, when I deconstructed, it helped them because I was embracing them and I was able to embrace people in just where they were at, you know, and people of other faiths and things like that, because of God's inclusiveness. So it actually was quite healing, in that when I was obnoxious and, you know, whatever, it was repulsive when I was in my uber religious evangelical Christianity phase, it was repulsive and it bore that fruit. And I'm just happy that I got out of that. Right.
Right.
And happy for me. And it wasn't like it hasn't cost me. It has cost me, but you know, I mean, someone calls you a heretic or you're going to hell and you're taking people with you. Okay.
Right.
Okay. My personal favorite is Daughter of Satan. That's my personal favorite.
I haven't been called Son of Satan, but that's okay. So. Yeah. I've been called a lot of other things.
That you have. Right. Right. So.
So that's part of, you know, being in this area that we're at, mm-hmm. where the church is still learning about grace.
Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah.
Part of the journey is enlightenment. In other words, mm-hmm. more and more light. Some of us, we've got more light, others less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be where you're at.
It is okay. If you're not okay where you're at, you're not going to be okay where you're going. So,
that's it.
Right? This is that God of love who just embraces us. Like, if you're not loved here, you're not loved. So it's going to be okay. Yeah, keep on going.
So in your practice, you mentioned mm-hmm. people who are coming in. What do you think is the biggest focus that you do with your coaching? Is it like spiritual coaching, basically? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, in my coaching, I have one agenda and one agenda only, is to help people connect experientially, and that involves some theological stuff as well, with God, in whatever form works for them, in all the areas that feel disconnection, right? Mm-hmm. Because if God is the counselor and God is the healer, And right. God is the one that utterly adores and accepts you. Whatever feels disconnected from that as you encounter that is going to be healed. It's going to be healed in every aspect of your being. So that's my agenda. It never changes. Now, it looks really different depending on what is needed. Okay.
Yeah.
But right. It just works. It's a plumb line that works and transforms and just heals and just releases people into freedom, right?
Right.
And helps them see who he is, helps them see who they are in his image and likeness, right?
Yeah.
Helps them be released in purpose, right? Heals trauma, you know. I mean,
right.
So yeah.
And I want to pivot then to your book, because this was your first book. Was mm-hmm. Marked by Love, right?
Yeah.
But you have rewritten it. You were telling me before we right. started, you had rewritten it, and
yeah.
there's an additional 100 pages.
Yes.
That you have now. So talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And how that kind of ties in.
I still sell this is my original, which is Marked by Love. It has a little circular fingerprint. It's actually that little logo there. I've had more people who say it has transformed their lives. If I talk about it too much, I will start to cry. Just because of the anointing on it and how they just encounter God in those pages and how much it deconstructs. What I realized because I wrote that early on, and of course I've grown, that came out in 2017. I still sell it because people love it. So I'm not taking it away. But I also felt a need to add additional revelation that I've had in that period of time, and then actually a lot of theological undergirding. So it just needed to be expanded, needed to be revised, it needed to be expanded for that, although the original stands on its own. So I rewrote it because I thought, wow, that just needs to be included, but I couldn't take the old one off the market. So they're both available, but this is a lot thicker by 100 pages because people needed, you know what I found? I found that people were like, wow, I've been encountering this God of love and he's beautiful and it puts this together and makes sense here, but like, what about when we die? What about like this scripture? What about like, so if God is love and mercy, but he's also God of justice, what does justice look like, right? So if he's forgiven us, does that mean everyone, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you massacred, it doesn't matter now, right? You know, we're just all forgiven, fluffy, buffy, you know, and people, they needed help so that they could start to embrace again, the things that there was dissonance here. Dissonance in scripture, dissonance in if God is love, what about, right? If God adores me and chose me, well, what about this? More going deeper on this concept of union, and what does that mean, and where did this happen, and what is my part, and all of these things. And so it just fleshed it out for people who are like, I have the need to know, because your book has brought up these questions now, and I want those answered. So it's inclusive of the old book, but it's expanded and it's revised. And what I don't do is I did a lot of that in the appendix. So for people who are like good and they just love the encounters, every chapter has a love encounter break, which means I'm leading people through encounters. So we've talked about this, and this. So let's get down to the nitty gritty of where rubber meets the road for you and your story and your journey. But there are people that are like, well, I want more. So I put a lot of that in the appendices for those who want to dive deeper into what does this mean for judgment and, you know, the afterlife and, you know, not that I have all my I's dotted and my T's crossed, but they're just things that like bring this comes to bear. And this is how you can reconcile these things. And then, you know, in the areas where we don't know, and let's be clear, we don't know a lot, that we can embrace mystery and the things that we don't understand because we're embraced by the one who is love. So it is going to be okay. Right.
Oh. Yeah. So this is available on Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other platforms that they could find it on?
So no, I mean, you know, if you go to my website, which is great, you can go to my website, katherinetune.com, but I basically just link it to Amazon. So it's sold through Amazon, and that's pretty much my only outlet that I do have, other than just in-person selling, or when I travel and speak, I'll, you know, bring it along. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I thought I'd finish up. We had talked a little bit that you had, and many of our people know Steve McVeigh,
yes.
Because they've read some of his books. I was kind of a disciple of Steve's early on, about 25
years
ago.
Yeah.
But he was the one that kind of introduced me to quantum physics. Now, mm-hmm. obviously I studied this in science, you know, classes mm-hmm. and stuff,
right.
But in seeing things from a spiritual perspective about six, 7 years ago.
It.
And then the book I just wrote has a lot of this in there in regards to living spiritually. And you had him on for a couple of shows. What was your take on that and some of the books that he's writing and that
Steve
sort of thing?
Is great. I so enjoy him. One of the things that I love his heart, because like, how do we reach people who are like Jesus doubt, maybe, you know, Christianity out, just burn out, or maybe they've just been so repulsed by the version that we've displayed that I can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we approach the ones that are of another faith, or you know, maybe nominal in whatever faith you have? What is making sense to people that is gracious and universal and in language that is palatable? You know, and it's such an evangelistic thing without being evangelism, right? It's sharing the good news in a way that's like, oh, this is really good. The other thing I love about it is that it's such an embrace of the unlimitedness, the mystery of God, this God that we have access to. But there's a way that we can approach it that bears up under scientific understanding, that bears up under other mystical avenues that maybe we've rejected, but that are onto something that Christianity forsook, or that Christianity was never open to, but that is bigger. God is so much bigger. Yeah. And this is language that we can all come to. And, you know, it's almost like when you start to understand it, it's like, wow, it actually causes you to enter in this much more wonder at this God who's so huge. You know, I'm getting ready to speak at a conference, and you know, it's called Restored Wonder, because we're going to be talking about this God of wonder, and that's what quantum really opens up for people, because it's accessible. It doesn't have an agenda, right? It makes it accessible for all, and then it points to this God that, wow, maybe over time will reveal himself. Yeah, I'm Jesus, but I'm not the one that you thought I was, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was glad to see he had an opportunity to visit with you, but it's one of the things that I know the people who have been watching with my shows and stuff have really appreciated is some of his work, the stuff that I've been writing about. And my real hope is that what I think of as general revelation, which is everything that's not the Bible and Jesus, is brought back into the conversation.
I love it. Yes.
You know, to balance. It's almost like we're like this right now,
exactly,
rather than balanced. And God has so revealed himself in so many ways beyond just the book or beyond the person of Christ.
Truly.
That tie into very, very well to that revelation, if you will. So
absolutely.
I was glad to see you had an opportunity to at least visit with him.
Yeah, I'm going to be visiting him, I think, 2 weeks with his new book, Unveiled, right? So he's on my podcast. He'll be on my podcast again. So that's a great book. I just started it, but I'm enjoying it. He is a gift. He is a gift. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing a little bit of your journey and the ministry you have now and your love for Christ. I know a lot of people who watch me have come out of a lot of different backgrounds, some of them from, you know, church, growing up in church, others not, some just, you know, been saved not very long. I think the thing I'm taking away today is just this reality of unconditional love that each of us can really stand in, that we're fully accepted, fully loved, just as we are, without changes. Mm-hmm. And that if there are changes, God knows how to do that. The Spirit knows how to do that.
Exactly.
And we can really enjoy this embrace of love. But I appreciate what you shared with that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate being on. This has been a joy. I hope it's blessed, you know, people. I know we have different experiences, so but it's great to hear everyone's stories and how it comes together. Yeah, and this journey is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage the folks watching, go to Amazon, get her book, and it's a good read. And I encourage you to find her on GAN as well, GAN TV network. What's the name of the show?
Perspective with Catherine Toon. So my podcast, which is on YouTube and all major platforms, is called Perspectives with Catherine Toon. And then on GAN, Perspectives with Catherine Toon is the title of that, you know, of that part of GAN as well. So
Well, again, thank you so much. And we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, appreciate it so much, Scott. It's been a joy, and we'll have to have you back on the podcast again.
Absolutely.
We had a great time. Yeah, so appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Thanks so much.